Welcome to the Sustain UW podcast, a place for sustainability conversation, expert interviews, and news hosted by student interns from the UW-Madison Office of Sustainability. We want to know, what's up with sustainability and where should we go from here? Before we dive into today's episode, we want to remind you that the opinions expressed on this show do not reflect the views of the Office of Sustainability, the University of Wisconsin-Madison, or its Board of Regents. Now, let's get into today's show.
Welcome to a special episode of the Sustain UW podcast. My name is Rory, and instead of being joined by other OS interns and guests, I am now joined by fellow classmates Tess Wadworth and Maya Herzog. We are here to explore what exactly makes food organic and why we should consider it in our daily lives. So, today, join us in discussing the ins and outs of organic agriculture, the importance of eating organic, and how to get involved with organic ag at UW-Madison. To get started, I would like to introduce Tess and Maya to the listeners. Would you both like to speak about your backgrounds, studies, and interests?
Yeah, okay. I'm Maya, so I'm a junior here at UW. I'm studying environmental studies and communications with sustainability and organic ag as well. I'm just really interested in regenerative agriculture and how food is important for both the people and the planet.
Amazing.
Yeah, my name's Tess, and I'm a senior here at UW, and I'm studying environmental studies as well as science communications. I'm also super interested in organic agriculture as well as regenerative agriculture and how, you know, that affects climate change and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm Rory, and I study agricultural business. I'm a senior, and I also have a certificate in sustainability. And like Maya and Tess, I'm very interested in organic ag and its connections to food systems and how we nourish and feed our society. So now to get into the main theme of our episode, Maya is going to set us up with some information about organic agriculture. Take it away, Maya.
All right. So first, I really think that a lot of people don't know exactly what goes into organic agriculture. Mm-hmm. So the most basic things, and basically anything you'll see on an infograph, is that it's going to contain no antibiotics for all the animals. So this means that if they do get sick, they are allowed to treat it, but they aren't allowed to put antibiotics in the animals before they get sick. Next is there's no GMOs. And then the biggest thing that most people do know about organic agriculture is the no synthetic pesticides. So this means that they can use natural methods, but this does not usually include all the harmful chemicals that go into it. And then a big practice of organic agriculture is soil stewardship and crop rotation. This looks like no-tillage agriculture, which has like immense benefits for the environment. Recently in the EU, they compared soil carbon stocks among 9 different countries between, you know, using tillage agriculture and then no tillage. And so some of this was done on conventional farms that use tillage agriculture and then organic that don't use it. And it's found that with no tillage agriculture, it allows the carbon to stay in the soil. This allows the soil carbon stocks to increase. So over time, CO2 is not being emitted into the air. Rather, it's staying in our soil, keeping it healthy. And this is a huge soil carbon stock. All right. And so also the no pesticides kind of have this organic attribute that contributes to soil stewardship, which will emit less carbon dioxide. So it won't necessarily prevent the amount of carbon dioxide that we've already emitted, kind of causing climate change, but it will definitely stop and kind of restore it. So yeah, soil is a huge part of organic ag and why people want to practice it. People go into organics for many different reasons. For example, I'm interested in it because I think it's super interesting how every single piece of food has a mini story behind it. You know, how the labor happened, what farming practice, how it went through that supply chain, and whose hands were all on it. I don't think it's thought about how just that one piece of food has such a big story. So I consider myself an environmentalist. I'm interested in the food system. I plan to do that with my future. But I'm curious on the people who buy organic food who really don't have any marketplace background in this. They're just buying organic because And so I looked into this a little bit. Actually, India is the largest organic food producer in the world. The U.S. and China are like shortly behind them. But India, so they did this huge survey in New Delhi, the capital there, and they collected data about what people believe and perceptions about organic food. And they found that the most prominent reasons that people do buy it is for the health and humanity of the environment. There's known to be a ton of health benefits because you're not consuming synthetic pesticides. And also, like I mentioned earlier, the vast benefits for the environment, one of them being the soil and keeping the carbon dioxide in the soil stocks. And then another huge determining factor is pricing. Organic is more expensive, and that's the price that is like the big question, I feel like. How can organic be more affordable for people? And then to just a couple other things that went into reasons behind buying organic was the trust and confidence behind it actually being organic. So people who understand where their food is coming from, is that's a huge part of it. Culture. So in India, one thing that I found really interesting that's different from the U.S. is that meat is not typically eaten just because of their religion. And so culture is a huge part of the reasons why people buy organic food in India as well, because it allows for people to make the decisions, especially when they are eating meat, they want to know that their food is healthy. It's also a symbol of status in India, which once again gets at the pricing point. In the U.S., it's found very similar that people also buy for environmental conscious reasons. But a lot of people, that was also done in a different study, was that femininity also impacts buying organic. So people who are more likely to be involved in grassroots organizing, more liberal ideas, tend to buy organic. So some questions I have here are how we understand that organic agriculture is not necessarily perfect, mainly because of the pricing. So it is going to be, you know, it's usually a couple more dollars depending on the brand. Sometimes it's just the exact same price or it's even cheaper. It really depends on what's being sold. So how can more organic agriculture be accessible to people even without the pricing? Like, how as a society do we fix this?
That's a good question.
Yeah, so I've thought about this a lot. I think that everyone kind of, my big thing that I love and want to help out even more is people being able to buy organic agriculture if that's their beliefs. So I think a big part of this is like grassroots organizing, working with small farms. And I know my peers are going to mention this as well, but there's co-ops and community gardens that can really make a difference.
For sure. And I know we've talked about how I feel like the initial image that comes to people's mind when they think of the person who's buying organics is like a affluent yoga mom, like,
yes,
sort of thing, where it's just, it is kind of a status symbol and it's like, I don't want to put things in my body sort of vibe, but making sure that everyone can have organic food available to them and that it's not divided by like income and locations and all of that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, like I kind of understand what you're saying. Like, if no one should have to put pesticides in their body if they don't want to, but unfortunately that's the way it is because people who can't afford it are forced to eat that type of food if it doesn't align with their beliefs. And it's usually people who do have that more affluent status symbol who can afford organic food and it aligns with their values.
Who can like choose.
Right.
Yeah, like they have the resources to choose what they consume, and that's not a reality for everyone, unfortunately. Yeah, that's a good
one
point.
Thing that comes to mind that's more of a action item, and it's all about the policy.
Yes.
Yeah, I believe that if organic agriculture farmers were able to get a little bit more subsidy money from the government, you know, maybe a little bit of a reward. I don't know what sector this would come from, but if they were, if something was kind of processed in that way to allow more support for the farmers, then they would be able to maybe sell their produce for cheaper.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, I do think that farm bill is coming out soon, too, that hopefully will be better for regenerative and agriculture farmers. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all right. So we talked a lot about the environmental benefits, but there are also a lot of health benefits. And Tess is going to take it away and get into it.
Before I do go into it completely, I do want to preface I'm not a doctor, and supplements and prescriptions are vital for some users. However, I'm super passionate about this topic, and I want to share like my experiences and knowledge with you all about this. So, yeah, let's get into it. So, whether you guys have heard this before or have experienced it yourself, organic foods can be a nutritional powerhouse. And that's not just completely just about consuming nutrients. It also can be a form of healing, especially when it comes to like organic products. For example, throughout history, different cultures have recognized the healing properties of certain foods. For example, and this is all stuff coming from the Organic Trade Association, organic foods are associated with reduced exposure to harmful chemicals, higher nutrient levels, like I said before. You know, studies show how organic fruits and vegetables contain higher levels of certain nutrients, such as vitamin C, iron, magnesium, as well as phosphorus. Maya, kind of like you said, no GMOs. A lot of people are concerned about the potential health effects of consuming GMOs, as well as there are not as many or no synthetic hormones or antibiotics in organic animal farming, so none of that in your meat or poultry. But beyond just like general well-being, can food actually help manage and prevent diseases? The answer might be yes. So many chronic conditions actually can be positively influenced by a mindful and nutritious diet. A concept that I think is super cool that I'm excited to share with you two about is how doctors are actually able to prescribe fruits and vegetables to patients who may not be able to afford or attain certain prescriptions. This is through what is known as produce prescription programs. So I'm going to explain this in like simplest terms. A produce prescription program is a healthcare initiative where a healthcare provider prescribes fresh fruits and veggies. So with that, I recently had the opportunity to interview an incredible woman. Her name is Erin Martin, and she is the director of a produce prescription program called FreshRx. Back in college, Erin studied a concept known as blue zones, and this is like different places in the world. There's 5 blue zones. This is different places in the world where people lived the longest. So she's studying and like analyzing these blue zones, and she kind of realizes, you know, every single one of these places share the same exact thing, and that is a healthy diet with whole nutrient-dense foods. With this concept in mind, Erin starts a produce prescription program, and this is called FreshRx Food is Medicine, and it's located in North Tulsa, Oklahoma. So she started this program first by literally just recruiting farmers who grew their food regeneratively as well as organically. And just like Maya said, this is no-till, no herbicides, no pesticides, really just nothing. She was trying to recruit farmers who did none of that. Once she ended up getting these farmers, she was able to work with patients that were already prescribed with these fresh fruits and veggies to purchase them from the store. And this is a quote from Erin that I love. She says, "This way of cultivating food, meaning regeneratively or organically, not only tastes better, but it also expands the local economy, it fights climate change, and it increases positive health outcomes," she says. So, I mean, these programs are effective, and this stuff is actually happening in Wisconsin, in Madison, kind of touching on, like, who can attain these fresh fruits and veggies. The Dane County Farmers Market participates in EBT Food Share Program, which those values really do align with the produce prescription programs, as well as in 2017, the Willie Street Co-op, they partnered with UW Health and the Fruit and Vegetable Prescription Program, too. So, I mean, these programs are effective, they're important, and I encourage you or whoever to choose more organically, like, for these reasons, these health reasons. There's so much that interplays with organic food consumption and your overall health and well-being, and just eating whole nutrient-dense foods in general is just so important. So, yeah, that's kind of, like, my take on why I choose to eat more organically, because it is so good for you, and it's healing for your mind and body.
The fact that the Dane County Farmers Market takes EBT cards, like,
yeah, I didn't know that either.
It's so wonderful, and that just further helps with the access of organic ag and like making sure that everyone can improve their health with organic fruits and vegetables. And that's such a cool program too. I didn't even know that you could be prescribed specific fruits and veggies, mm-hmm. but it makes total sense.
And like with that, these programs are getting a lot of money through the Farm Bill. So that started in 2014. So hopefully when the new Farm Bill comes out, there'll be a lot more subsidies to this kind of stuff because it's important. Mm-hmm. So Rory, I know you're involved in a lot of on-campus organizations or projects, stuff like that. Are there any opportunities students can get involved in when it comes to organic agriculture?
Yes. Oh my goodness, there are so many. I have been so extremely fortunate to have gotten involved with a lot of organizations on campus that either work with farmers or are farms themselves. One that immediately comes to mind is the People's Farm, which is formerly known as the F.H. King Farm. It's UW's own student-run sustainable farm on campus, and it operates out of the Eagle Heights Community Garden. It's a 2-acre fruit and vegetable farm that can cultivate up to 4,000 pounds of produce. And what's really, really cool about the People's Farm is that, like we've mentioned this whole episode, is it really works on food access. So they take whatever they harvest and give it out for free to the campus community every weekend of the summer season during what they call harvest handouts. And Maya and I both actually had the opportunity to intern for the People's Farm this past summer as garden interns, where we kind of would just help with the general upkeep and maintenance of the farm. We weeded, we planted, harvested, and then on Mondays we would have workshops where community leaders would come to talk to us about different food and ag-related topics such as, you know, composting, indigenous food sovereignty. It was a wonderful experience, and I'd love to hear your reflection about it, Maya.
Yeah, this internship we did this summer absolutely like made me realize that how I wanted to get involved with food. Like you mentioned, the harvest handouts were something really cool that, you know, you can have urban ag and it can be sustainable and it can really help and benefit and bring a community together. And I think food definitely needs to be at the basis of how we look at new environmental concepts to sustain both the people and the planet.
Mm-hmm. The People's Farm really dedicates themselves to growing their food in a sustainable way. And then they not only emphasize giving back to the community, but specifically to students, which I think is really important because this whole time we've been kind of talking about, you know, how amazing organic fruits and veggies are for your health and how as students can we have access to these things if price gets in the way. So through these handouts and just having the ability to work with the People's Farm, it's been really rewarding to see just the community that comes with like sharing food and making sure that we all can have access.
And once, just to add this, it's really cool. You come out with a bunch of food on a Sunday afternoon and everyone's like, I can have this for free.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh my gosh, take as much kale as you want.
Yeah.
And I think it just reemphasizes the idea of getting people excited about healthy food and organic agriculture.
Totally.
And kind of promoting it as well.
Yeah, I feel like everyone refers to their college years as the top ramen years. Because, you know, like, when you're studying and everything, food and making sure you get all your nutrients can kind of fall to the wayside. So to just be, like, walking on campus mall and see a bunch of fresh produce that is free and anyone can take it, it does get that kind of conversation started about, like, what are we using to fuel our bodies with? And I think those are really important things to consider. So to get involved in the People's Farm, I really encourage listeners to go to their Instagram. It's at thepeoplesfarm.uw. They just changed their name from F.H. King to the People's Farm, but their website is updated and everything. They do offer the garden internship in the summer, and the applications come out each spring. I think Maya and I highly encourage anyone who's interested to apply. They also have many events and harvest work days, so anyone, any volunteer can just come and help them pick and harvest the fruits and veggies that they've grown and can even participate in the harvest handouts as well. There's many ways to get involved with the People's Farm, and they really do rely on their incredible volunteers. So definitely, definitely recommend getting more info about them and getting involved. Another great student organization on campus that connects students to local farms through food is Slow Food UW. So Slow Food UW is a nonprofit student-run org that basically every Monday and Wednesday of the academic year serves affordable, low-cost, nourishing, and wholesome meals to the campus community. And they do that through their partnerships and utilization of seasonal produce from local Southwest Wisconsin farmers. They really aim to promote sustainable food production while providing good, clean, and fair food for all at an affordable price. They also operate some of the meals, specifically the Monday meal called Family Dinner Night, with a Pay What You Can plan. So it's welcome to everyone, and they really want to ensure that they're breaking down those barriers between access to healthful food. So like I said, Slow Food hosts two meals every week of the academic year. They have Family Dinner Night on Monday and Cafe Lunch on Wednesdays, and they operate out of the Crossing Campus Ministry, which is right on University Ave, so very, very accessible to students and just the broader Madison community. I have had the privilege of being a Family Dinner Night intern for the past 2 years. Within the internship, you really get to not only help source the food, but cook it, create recipes, scale it to, like, you know, the 100 plus people that we serve during these meals. And you really work within a team that is chock full of just amazing people who all want to, you know, make sure that everyone can eat very nutritious and helpful foods. And they really, really, really emphasize the connection that can be made through food. I think just like sitting down and sharing a meal with someone can really help build such significant connections. So our dinners and our lunches are kind of operating that way, where you kind of sit down with other students and other people and share a great meal together. To get involved with Slow Food UW, there's numerous internship and volunteer opportunities. I would head over to their website as well as their Instagram to learn more. So while not directly growing organic foods, Slow Food UW does provide a great way to learn more and get involved in the broader food systems present in Madison, especially as it pertains to food accessibility, food security, and community outreach. I'm wondering, Maya or Tess, have you ever had a meal at Slow Food UW?
I have. I try to go Monday nights. Last year, actually, my club, Clean, little shout out to them. We went after every meeting, and it was a great way to have dinner with my friends. It was also really cool to see how many people it brought together. You know, every single time, almost all the food ran out. Mm-hmm. And it was all started by students, which was really cool to see that in action.
Yeah, it's super fun. When we do prep and when we cook, it's like there's always music playing, and it's just a great sense of community. So yeah, definitely, definitely encourage people to get involved. So finally, and this is not something that I have personally done, but for any students that are interested in research regarding organic agriculture, OGRAIN, which is the Organic Grain Resource and Information Network at UW-Madison, does have some research opportunities specifically within Dr. Silva's lab. So that would be a great place to get started. Dr. Silva advises graduate students mainly, but she does welcome undergrad students that are interested in summer field experiences or capstone projects. If you are looking to get more of that research, hands-on experience, I would go to the OGRAIN website and see what interests you there. So hopefully today you've learned a bit more about organic ag and how it connects to our health and the environment, as well as how you can engage with organic ag on campus. I want to say thank you to Maya and Tess for coming onto the podcast, as well as a big thank you to our listeners. We really appreciate your support of the Sustain UW podcast. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys.
See ya.
Thanks to the Director of Sustainability at UW-Madison, Dr. Missy Nergard, and to the Director of Sustainability Education and Research, Professor Andrea Hicks. Thanks also to the Nelson Institute for Environmental Studies and to Facilities Planning and Management for supporting this podcast. The making of these episodes requires a lot of behind-the-scenes work from the entire intern podcast team, and we are so grateful for their efforts. Until next time, continue thinking about how to best sustain UW.